Consciousness is. A conscience is something that's been conditioned and created by people around you. And you're working hard to try and meet it even when they're not around because it drives you. It's the conditioning that makes you think you have to do all these things before you can be happy, or that if you're that happy, it won't be so good. Or you have to be a certain way or do things a certain way. That wasn't your nature. Your nature as a child was to be totally joyous, but now you've got a conscience that tells you how you're supposed to be. And most people, when they meet everything in that conscience, they're still not happy. Because that conscience wasn't directed by God. That conscience was directed by the people around you who you modeled, who gave you pain or pleasure at various times. And now you can't understand why. Even though you're such a great person who gives so much, why don't I sustain the happiness, not just obtain the happiness or the achievement? So I found myself in that place going, wow, I know myself. I know the projected self that I've got. And pretty much they're almost identical, almost ain't good enough. You know, if you said, aren't they the same? You know, what you see is what you get. Who I am on stage is who I am off stage. Very true. Except I was pouring more of myself on stage than I was off stage. Because there I was worried about what other people felt because I don't want to hurt their feelings and all that kind of stuff. So there's never been a time I can tell you on stage, and as I'm saying this, I'm asking to make sure I'm accurate. I can't remember anyway. I don't believe. You know, maybe there has been because I don't want to say something that isn't true. I'm fairly certain there hasn't been a time on stage, and certainly hasn't, I can say without any reservation, I've never consistently been on stage not been myself. But off stage I have. So I know the projected self, and I know my real self. And boy, knowing your real self is such a beautiful thing. I know who I am when I'm just conscious versus when I'm trying to live by my conscience, which had all these rules about being responsible for everybody's thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and basically was strangling and killing me emotionally. Because you only do that for so many decades before your brain finally goes, this is insane. You're making everybody else happy, and you're really not. You think you are. You are by most people's standards, but not that unbelievable, unbridled feeling of divinity that's within everybody, that was given to you when you were a kid. When you were a kid, you didn't need any self-esteem. You didn't have to do anything to have self-esteem, right? You loved life. You loved people. You loved God. You loved yourself. There wasn't a doing necessary for that. But most of us have learned we got to do something to be a certain way. So we try to live by that conscience. And, of course, the conscience makes it impossible to live by because the expectations are usually inconsistent with your nature. The greatest way to produce guilt, or the greatest way to control someone, is to set a standard that's inhuman. And then the person can always feel bad and you have a tool to manipulate them with. And that's what most people do. So you have the option today to kill your conscience, not become unconscious, to become conscious. Consciousness is a conscience is a programmed creation of those around you who probably have no better idea what life really is than you do. Maybe less. Because they probably didn't have as much freedom as you do today to make your own choices. So first key is really to know thyself. The second key is the most important key. Be thyself. Because if you're not being who you really are, it's impossible to be happy. People tell me all the time, I don't know, I just can't love myself. I just know that the core of all this, why I do this, why I smoke, why I eat, why I get upset, it's just, I know I've met people, I don't know how to love myself. How to love yourself is the easiest thing in the world. If I said to you, who here does not love themselves? I know there's somebody in this room who doesn't love themselves after all this great training. Come on. Yes, would you stand up? I don't know my first name, I'm sorry. Simona. It's Simona, ladies and gentlemen. So, Simona, you don't love yourself. Simona, you don't love yourself. Is that right?
I mean, I'm getting a little bit to the point that I kind of can feel a little small love, but it's still not what I really, I don't feel it.
A little like worm-like love, not like a full blast, like
yeah.
A worm kind of wiggles around every now and then.
That's right.
So what prevents you from loving yourself?
I believe that I really need to be perfect.
Great. So what's that called, my friends? Model of a world. Now, what she just told you is a complete lie. It is a complete lie. She does not believe that she needs to be totally perfect. That's a lie.
You know, Tommy, I mean, logically, I know all this stuff.
No, I'm not talking about logic. I'm just talking about the fact that you're lying to me right now. There is a difference. I know logically you know better. That's not what I'm talking about. I know that you just told me a lie and you know it, which is okay, because I've lied before too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. However, this is not the place to lie. So here's what we need to understand. How do I know it's a lie? There are only three things you got to know to help anyone. I hope out of this weekend you know what those three things are for this time. the number one thing to help anyone transform the quality of life you must know is what? What is it they really want? Right. What you got to know is what do they want and need. First, you got to know what they need. Here's the good news. I know you know that because there's only how many things they need? Six things they need. So we already know what you need. So the first thing you got to know to help anybody is what do they need? But the second thing is you got to know what do they want, because the want tells you their model of the world about how they're going to meet those six needs. It tells you their model of the world. It tells you, to a certain extent, what their rules are in their head that they think has to happen for them to be an experience of being fulfilled. And so she has just told us in her first sentence that she believes that you have to be perfect, right, to be able to love yourself. Love is the core need that everyone absolutely wants and needs, but very few people believe they can have in a sustainable way. Now, by the way, what's obtainable versus sustainable? If I said to you, all right, John, I want you to lose 40 pounds by tomorrow. Can you do it? Quick, yes or no, quick. No. Who here can do it? Yes, the answer is you can do it. You can absolutely do it by tomorrow. Almost any goal is obtainable with a unique enough strategy. You can lose 40 pounds by tomorrow, cut off the arms, cut off the legs, it'll work. Now, it's obtainable, but it is not sustainable, okay? And there is a difference in life. So what she has here is she's saying, okay, in order for me to love myself, you know, a moment she can obtain a little bit, but it's not sustainable unless I'm perfect. It's a lie. It's not a false belief. It's a designed lie that she is told again and again and again and again. It's by design. Now, we live in a culture where most of us who come from Western cultures, and I know half the room here virtually, how many are from overseas? Let me see your hands. Yeah, so half the people are overseas. But how many of you from overseas come from a first world country, a second world country? Let me see your hands. Yes. Most of you here are not coming from a third world nation. So the majority of you are coming from cultures that have been affected by Western thinking. If you come from a culture affected by Western thinking, then you have a belief that you must produce in order to experience acceptance. You have to produce in a certain way. Even if you come from an Eastern culture, you still have certain things you must do or be like in order to be accepted and loved. This is part of the process of socialization, or the process of creating a conscience, otherwise known as a policeman, that even if you break the law and get by with it, he's still inside your head and will eventually punish you because he's inside you. It has nothing to do with you, but he's inside you. He's your conditioning. So she's had some conditioning, and so she wants that policeman. She gives that policeman life, even though she knows better. And she knows better. She knows it's not true that she has to be perfect to be loved. So she knows better, therefore it's an absolute total lie, but she's willing to tell it on a regular basis. And she's a very nice and warm person, but she's a liar. And as long as you're a liar, you'll be unhappy. And the only way you can be a liar is keep listening to a policeman that you know better than. Consciousness is, her conscience is a creation, a made-up figment of her imagination that's controlling everything. And so what happens is we become so afraid of not getting it from the outside, we don't get it from the inside. Pretty soon we're not being ourselves, and so you don't even know yourself, but you're not being yourself, so you're unhappy. So then we come up with this game plan here. The game plan is I got to be perfect. So that game plan is based around the idea of making her have to always grow. The intention to that is good. I'm always growing. I have more to give. I give enough. I'll get enough love. It'll all work out. But there's no end to it. It's different than always growing because you love and you're addicted to the feeling of growth. That's different than feeling like you got to grow in order to get love or to be worthy. Just what's going on for her. Her idea, this concept that you have to be perfect to meet all these needs is where all of her challenges really come from. All. That's the source of them all. So if you said to me, oh, God, I got this pain in my shoulder here. You say, well, the cause of that pain is these muscles are all tight, so let's loosen them. But then they tighten again, and loosen them. Eventually they tighten again. So you're dealing with a cause. The source is these muscles back here in your back are not tight, so they don't keep your shoulder in position. So, of course, this has to overwork itself, and all of a sudden the muscles get tight again. So what she does is spends her whole life dealing with the cause of things and never getting to the source. So I'm kind of into the source. Now, what needs do you get by having to be perfect all the time? That's right. So you can feel like you're really significant. It's a significant problem, because when can you ever really be perfect? What else do you get by having a problem called, I gotta be perfect? Certainty that you'll never, ever meet it, and that you'll never fail because you can't measure it. See, so it meets both. This, her model of the world is the breaker switch. Have you talked about breaker switches, I assume? The bottom line is that these breaker switches are critical, and that's what this is for her. Sure, she meets her needs by having this problem. She gets to have a significant challenge, right? She'll connect with people about it because lots of other people go, oh, yeah, or they'll tell her, no, you don't have to be perfect, and she'll feel a connection with them. She'll also get a feeling of certainty about it because she's certain that she's going for something really important, and she's also certain she'll never get it. It also creates variety because when it's perfect, you got to always be striving for more. So it's going to meet a lot of these needs. Maybe growth, because you're trying to go for perfection, so you're going to grow. Maybe contribution. Minimum, it's going to meet three or four of her needs. And anytime you got something that meets three or four of your needs at a high level, it's an addiction, in case you aren't aware of that.